Now we'll begin the second half of World Watch's broadcast 646. This is April the 23rd, and this is the second half of the program. Now, the ACLU couldn't go too much into the Western Gold story because that was a police matter. And going on in Los Angeles, and I've been sharing with you on these programs, the police investigative committee, there's three members of a police court, have been hearing the testimony of J. Paul of whether the superiors, going from Chief of Police Daryl Gates on down, knew, gave permission for him to run this computer to Washington, D.C. And he said they knew all along, that they paid for some of the disks, that he was paid when he was away, that he took papers from the police intelligence to his wife, law office, Mary Love, who's very absent in this whole scenario. Her law office is not named. I'm sure it's a biggie with the Defense Department or CIA. Very silent. But anyway, that was the branch that the case took. So now people whose names were in those disks of the LAPD that went to Western Gold are suing Western Gold. Now we're where we should be. And I'm going to ask you people who get World Watchers a program to call your local newspaper. Everyone has a newspaper in their city, doesn't matter how small it is, and ask for the news editor and the editor of the newspaper and the director of the news department and take their name and say, this story of Western Gold and the Los Angeles Police Department has been in the news, Los Angeles Herald and Los Angeles Times for 1 year. LA article, the ACLU suit going on for several years, but in May, the Western Gold. Now there's another lawsuit. Why don't you have it on the wire services? Every article I have coming out is from the LA Times, which I take, or the LA Herald, and other people who, if you don't read those papers, you don't know the story. So here is the latest story. And remember last week, I gave you the members of the Western Gold, the board of directors of who they are. We won't go over them again. This is the story. New ACLU suit aims at the right-wing group. 52 organizations and individuals, 52 organizations and individuals filed a lawsuit just last Wednesday, April the 18th, against Western Gold's organization in Alexandria, Virginia. And as I said, you can get my back tapes on Western Gold. The charge is that they violated the rights of these people, that they obtained information about them from the police files, that they distributed through a computer network. They not only did it to the Western Gold, but I'll be in touch with these people. It went to Vienna, to the German intelligence there, and to Germany, to the BND, right into the Galen computer, Western Gold goes. The suit was filed with Superior Court Judge Norman L. Epstein, and they went to court this week, past week, with a temporary restraining order has been issued to keep them from destroying any files in their possession. Once a suit is filed, you can destroy things. And I didn't understand the destruction of evidence until you get a subpoena or an injunction. And they charge that the Western Gold is already destroying these past tapes. And there's a temporary restraining order, which on May the 8th, there will be further hearings for an injunction from them destroying papers. Now, there's 37 defendants and 52 organizations in total. Among them, Joan Baez, Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Brown, Mike Farrell, the producer, Norman Lear, Stanley Scheinbaum, who's a regent of the University of California at Berkeley. So now the heavies are getting into that finally. Some of the organizations include the Alliance for Survival, the American Friends Service Committee, the Coalition Against Police Abuse, the Coalition for Economic Survival, La Raza Unida Party. And I understand that there's an activist there who testified at the earlier trial, Zinzin, who is going to be part of this suit. And he was the one who confirmed for me through Don Freed that this police detective Farwell talked about his contacts with Donald DeFries up to the hour when he died, that the SLA became part of this operation. That isn't part of the suit. But I just want to mention that these various organizations and individuals combined, heavyweights, now when Norman Lear has new series on TV, now the heavyweights like Stanley Scheinbaum, the intellectuals, the producers, and the activists are finally going to get into this lawsuit, and they're going to ask more money. The LAPD made a settlement of $1.8 million, and almost a million went back to the civil liberties attorney to close the suit. We're not guilty, but we'll close it now. And that money, they wouldn't go to court on that other case. So now there's another trial, and they're going to ask for much, much more money in the suit. And as I say, this is Chapter 2 in the police spying. The attorney is Mark Rosenbaum, and he said these charges are more serious, so the damages should be greater. The charges that John Reese took this stuff and sent it back to Alexandria, Virginia, and furthermore, he has a computer in his own home. That there's a computer in Long Beach, there's a computer in Virginia with the military, like Admiral Moore, and going off to the other top, John Singh Lab, or the World Anti-Communist League, the general, the avid far right winger. We won't run down their names all the time. I just keep bringing them up to get the color of the group. This injunction bars all those people, defendants from Western Goals, from storing anymore or transmitting any information that is in their possession that was collected or maintained under the auspices of the Los Angeles Police Department. And of course, Mr. J. Paul is the center of this whole suit. The organizations and individuals are bringing the computer because they are listed in a printout from the computer of an index containing 5,000 to 6,000 entries. We used to live next door to Lloyd Bridges, and I'm close to Dorothy and Lloyd Bridges, Bud Bridges, I always call him Bud. I sent him a letter with his name, his address, and not Jeff Bridges, but his address on Loring, right next to where we used to live, and said, look, you're in John Reese's police intelligence. Do you want to get involved in this? And these are the kind of people that seemed interested, always seemed concerned. They're good friends. He and Dorothy didn't answer my letter. They don't want to be involved. I don't know if they're interested in getting in this suit or not, but their name was part of this, and Bo Bridges also. Their addresses, their phone numbers, what they do is that they give the Klan and the Nazis and the hit teams the locations of where these people live. And sometimes you read about these actors and actresses and producers having car accidents, heart attacks, falling out of places. Well, they disseminate throughout the United States where they are, where they travel, and what they do. Now, a guy named John Ryan is an employee of Western Goals in Virginia, in Alexandria, Virginia, and he worked with a computer and exchanged information with J. Paul. And as I say, the article this week said that the computer also wasn't in Alexandria, Virginia. It was in Reese's home. John Reese is that person I described by way of the FBI last week. His personality, what the FBI thought of him, not what Mae Brussel thinks, but what, and I will do more about John Reese with the computers in his home. Western Goals Foundation was formerly headed, you know, by Larry McDonald. Reese is the editor of their newspaper, Western Goals Report. They asked him, he's been there since 1979, he was the co-founder. They asked him about this lawsuit, and this is what he said. Given the history of the ACLU attorneys to pervert the Constitution, I'm not the least surprised. Now, let me ask you, why would the LAPD settle out of court with the ACLU with almost $2 million and never have a day in court if there wasn't a case? If there was a perversion of the Constitution, it's up to the Los Angeles Police Department, second largest city in the United States, to run the police department with law and order. And if the Constitution was done in by the Civil Liberties Union, it was the obligation of the police. If the police bow to the civil liberties as being not obeying the Constitution, then the LAPD has to be totally corrupt or else admit their guilt, which is what they did. John Reese said this week, it is absolutely amazing that the ACLU would seek to prevent a news reporter, he calls himself a news reporter, from exercising his First Amendment right and publishing information. He can publish your address. This is where you live. This is your phone number. He can say, here's Mae Brussel. Send it to 50 states, 50 police departments. Here's her house. That, how would you think if I think a guy like John Hinckley, that could be John Hinckley in front of my house, the guy whose name was John, who looked like him, every description about him, and every indication that it never proved that he wasn't, that, you know, how do they get and sit in front of your house? From the John Reese bulletins. What is the First Amendment to tell you where people live, their phone numbers, and how to find their doors? He supplies that to the police department. John Reese works with Western Goals, publishes their material. The lawsuit charged that the information in the Western Gold's computer was disseminated to public and private groups, and that's what it was, to private groups, the Klan and the Nazis and the paramilitary and the special forces and the mercenaries, because I can prove they work with them, and they were concerned that these people decide they're concerned about private and political activities. The charge that Western Gold is critical of leftist political orientation and sought to stifle the plaintiff's advocacy of political opinions. This is what the suit is about, and the suit charges that J. Paul superiors up to the chief of police, Daryl Gates, knew and willfully authorized or countenance that went along with his contact. Now, that is a suit that was filed this week, and an injunction against these sleazy, talk about sleaze, characters to quit destroying the material. Now, Edwin Meese had opinions about the ACLU, and he works with John Reese. In the New Yorker, there was a quotation, July 20th, 1981. This is John Meese. The ACLU is opposed to law enforcement. It is a criminal's lobby. And he wanted to establish a comparable citizens group that represented law-abiding citizens free from criminal activity. So the table has turned, Mr. Meese. You're not going to be the attorney general. You're not a law-abiding citizen. You're a sleazy character putting down an organization that is trying to keep the Constitution going. Also, he spoke to the police officers, of course. This was in May of 81, not in the New Yorker. And he talked about the rising crime rate in the United States and the criminal lobby. And he referred to the American Civil Liberties Union and the Prisoners Union as two groups that have now formed a consistent lobby which is regularly opposed to law enforcement. Popeye Jackson was head of the United Prisoners Union. He was murdered. I was in his home and saw a danger there. It was 3 weeks before he was murdered. I was sitting at his kitchen table with Popeye Jackson and some of his so-called friends that I felt weren't friends. He was murdered. Sarah Jane Moore, who took a shot at Jerry Ford and worked with alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, she was the one who worked with the Tribal Thumb in the group that did in Popeye Jackson. She was an informer for the government then. And now, although she's serving her time, a real brainwashed zombie. But she was one of the people that betrayed Popeye Jackson and got him involved. Now, last week, I was doing some more on the Los Angeles Police Department. I want to continue with, I have so many articles on them, and we have to keep updating them with the people moving in for the Olympics, with the Alpha 66, the anti-Castro Cubans, the Young Americans for Freedom, the Hells Angels. It's important to weave Edwin Meese, the LAPD, and the people that are going to be there for the Summer Olympics. Now, March 30th, 1983, there was an article in the LA Times. This is the hearing of J. Paul at the police department. Paul concedes that he gave the information and data to John Reese in Washington, D.C. And I'm just going to read you highlights of the article, not the whole article. J. Paul admitted that he passed along confidential department intelligence to the editor of Western Gold, John Reese, and the right-wing organization Western Gold. But he made a distinction before his superiors when he's being questioned. He said, this is the what you call the J. Paul double talk out of 1984. He said he gave information to John Reese, the individual, and he's never been charged with giving police files to John Reese. Now, that's very important considering how Reese formed Western Goals with Larry McDonald with the help of J. Peter Grace and Roger Milliken in that background. He said that he only gave material to John Reese and not to Western Goals. But what's the difference? If Reese is the editor for Western Goals, why would he think that Reese wouldn't give it to Western Goals? He's only charged or being apprehended for passing police intelligence documents from California to Western Goals. He's not charged sending them to John Reese. Now, who splits those hairs unless they want violence at the time of the Olympics and they're skirting it? So he's not charged with sending it, I repeat it again, to Reese, only with giving to Western Goals. So John Reese said, is a publisher and editor, and J. Paul says, I give it to him for his publications. He has other publications, and J. Paul said he met Reese in the late 1970s through the office of Larry McDonald, and Louise Reese, the wife of John Reese, works full-time on the Larry McDonald staff, and J. Paul says he wasn't aware that John Reese was a co-founder with Larry McDonald. Now, here's a man in police intelligence in Los Angeles who is going to work with John Reese. Where is the intelligence computer diagram, fingerprint? You know, John Reese was described by the FBI as not reliable in Newark as an informer with the riots in 1968 in Chicago. Now we're going to have the Olympic Games in Los Angeles. And here's a man, 13 years, 10 years with police intelligence, who's trying to separate John Reese forming Western Golds when the Western Golds bought him a $100,000 computer that he said the police let him work with. And he says he didn't get the connection of Reese founding Western Golds. That's what police intelligence is. If you put police files in the computer, why don't you know whose computer it is? Now, J. Paul admitted that it was John Reese who made the contacts with him. John Reese went to the Los Angeles Police Department, where soon the Olympic Games were be planned in Los Angeles, like we're planning 4 years from now in Korea. John Reese initiated the contacts. He arranged for Paul to participate with the project. He arranged for the equipment to go in the office. Now, they asked him about a domestic security report in 1981, and this was repaired in 1981 from the Public Disorder Intelligence Division. February 81 is when a coup was planned in Spain that was stopped. Nazis, part of the Masonic Lodge, Licio Gelli group, it was stopped. March 81 is when Reagan was shot. In May 81 is when the Pope was shot. And in 1981, there was other violence going around in the United States. And they asked him about a report that he had, and he skirted around it. Did he have it? And the technicalities of it, or the dialogue, we don't have time to go into now. He had domestic information from the police department that was marked confidential, from the LAPD, confidential, and this is important, that he put into the Western Golds computer with Reese. And he said, I didn't give it to Western Golds, I gave it to John Reese and a number of other people. Now, these sentences are very important. If there's a hidden government, a government behind the government to overthrow this country, this is a very important line of questioning that took place in L.A. They asked J. Paul about some important documents. Did you send them to Western Golds? And he said, no, I sent them to John Reese and a number of other people who he didn't identify. And they showed him the copies, and they were two pieces of information. Now, one of them was the list of 13 people and the circumstances of their arrest in 1981 at the nuclear facility at Crystal River, Florida. John Reese was working with J. Paul Reese in Alexandria, Virginia, in his home with a computer, with J. Paul in Los Angeles, with the men arrested in Crystal River, Florida. Now, Crystal River was a subject I brought up going back to a planned Reichstag in the United States. I referred to it and Alexander Haig and how Haig wanted to become president. The circumstances of Crystal River I brought up on broadcast 486, March 29th, 1981. That was the night before Ronald Reagan was shot. And I said that Alexander Haig wanted to take over the domestic and foreign emergency power. And Reagan angered him and named Bush for the foreign crisis manager and pushed Haig out. And there were rumors that week that Bush had been shot. Then there was the arrest at Crystal River, Florida, of a commando leader and 12 military Reichstag training for nuclear terror. That's what I put on the sheet that went out with the tape in 1981. I didn't know John Reese and J. Paul were connected. They were passing information. I identified the Crystal River gang as being part of a future coup in the United States. They're linked to the Klan, the Nazis, the World Anti-Communist League, to the Soldiers of Fortune, to General Westmoreland, to John Singlaub and Mitchell Werbel and the whole ball of wax. This was, I referred to as the planning Reichstag, and I was suspicious. They had silencers and submachine guns. And there was a second gun in front of the Hilton Hotel when Ronald Reagan was shot, from in back of him, again, over by that small grassy section from the balcony. There's a man at the balcony. And I had reason to believe that the Crystal River gang that were caught just earlier, just a few days earlier, had been up at the Hilton Hotel and were involved in that. and that they were part of the attempted coup that would have taken place when Haig said, "I am in charge." And this Crystal River guerrilla warfare was written up in several newspapers at the time, and I have articles on the mercenaries. The people involved in there are a man named Frank Camper, 34 years old, a Vietnam veteran from Dolomite, Alabama, who works with the CIA, who works with alcohol, tobacco, and firearm, who worked in the jungles of Vietnam, Laos, and in the Middle East. They work with automatic rifles, Soviet-made AK-47, the Israeli Uzi submachine gun. In April, the 12 of them were caught around the nuclear facility, because the coup that happens in this country will be around a nuclear facility. And yet these men have worked with the Soldiers of Fortune, the Pentagon. You notice nothing came of their being arrested. They run a small paramilitary group that train in Alabama, that train at Frank Capra's school at Dolomite, Alabama. They work with the federal government. They were picked up in April, and they were released the early part of March, rather, and these men were arrested. It was March 21st, and they were released. Then later in April, they were arrested again, and they were on their way to murder somebody in Florida. But I saw them on NBC News, and it went so fast. It was April the 15th, 1981. They were arrested in March. Then they were caught again in Florida. Mr. Camper was released, and Mr. Lisenby was with him, L-I-S-E-N-B-Y. And these 12 guerrillas near the nuclear plant, they said, oh, these are just boys training with their silencers. Another instrument, like I say, was the silencer that was described on television and in the newspapers. And the policeman in Miami stopped them, and NBC News that evening, it was tape recorded, a friend tape recorded, they were on their way to assassinate somebody. You don't hear about Mr. Lisenby. We read about terrorists, the terrorists from Gaddafi and the PLO and all over the world. What about these people? Now, this is the gang that Jay Paul was working with and had the names with privately with John Reese in Alexander, Virginia, this particular team. Well, this team later, through their mentors, they work with Soldier of Fortune. They get their instructions from the magazine Soldier of Fortune of where to go and where to fight. This team was involved with the Grenada invasion. When Soldier of Fortune magazine came out, the cover of February 84, Grenada, one that we won, a war we won. The Grenada papers, the Soldier of Fortune scores intelligence coup in the Caribbean. And there's a picture of Robert K. Brown, a Soldier of Fortune, who runs the ads where the men like Lisenby and Kemper go and answer those ads. They were the first people into the offices of the dead Maurice Bishop to scoop up his papers and get their hands on the evidence. And Soldier of Fortune was bragging about how they were the first people in the room. They were practically the first team that got to the island of the press to get into the private territories. They're working with the federal government, and all branches of our army were down there at Grenada, and these people have worked, trained at places like Crystal River. But the important story is that the Los Angeles Police Department has a man like Jay Paul feeding John Reese and knowing that they are exchanging information about Crystal River. Now, the common denominator between the Crystal River men and the Dominica, the planned coup that just followed shortly after that. They were going to take the island of Dominica and overthrow that. Eugenie Charles was getting hard on the mafia and didn't want drug traffic there. And they promised the former prime minister that in exchange for overthrowing her on that island, that these members of the Klan and the Nazi party, armed with the swastika and the German flag, could have Dominica. They'd run the police and they'd run the Minister of Information, and they wanted to take Grenada, and they worked, this group that went in Dominica, worked with Sir Eric Gary, who also lived in Florida and works with the paramilitary, and they arranged immediately as early as 1979 and 1980 how to go in and take Grenada, and they wanted to take Dominica first. What happened was that a man who was getting the boat for them broke the story, and these people at the Dominica invasion were caught and arrested, but you don't read much about them. Now, those mercenaries that trained in the Alabama woods that were in Florida, Crystal River. You never hear about Mr. Camper. You never hear about Listen Beat. But the men that they've trained with the military operations are going to be with those people in Los Angeles in the Olympic Games demonstrations. That is the Klan and the Nazi Party from California, who originally Mr. Brown and that group worked with Charles Willoughby and General Douglas MacArthur and got the full accord of alcohol, tobacco, and firearms like the Hell's Angels did during the anti-war movement, and they will be carrying that torch along with other people. Robert Vesco worked with them. There's suggestions that he put up the money for these people. Vesco also worked with Bernhard Kord and funded him, and he killed Maurice Bishop, and that was excuse for the Americans and the mob to take over Grenada. The Klan story, the Dominica story, goes in to men in Texas who funded it, $40,000, $50,000, with contacts to the former governor, John Connally. Some of the men involved with the Dominica invasion plot and who linked directly to that Crystal River group. There's a George Malveny, M-A-L-V-A-N-E-Y, from Jackson, Mississippi. He helped plan the Klan rally in Virginia Beach, Virginia, October 1979, while he was still in the Navy. Remember Mr. Scheidecker from Navy Intelligence, who took papers home like J. Paul, whose name faded away out of the Los Angeles News? He's in the U.S. Navy Intelligence. This guy ran the Klan rally at Virginia Beach while he was still in the Navy. Michael Perdue was the man who raised the money for this invasion in Texas. Stephen Black from Birmingham, Alabama, is the Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Klan. Wolfgang Droege, D-R-O-E-G-E, a native of Forchheim, West Germany, F-O-R-C-H-E-I-M, West Germany, is the organizer of the Associated Canadian Knights of the Klan, affiliated with the Klan of Tuscumbia, Alabama, headed by Mr. Black, the Grand Wizard of the Klan. Now, what they were going to do if they took Dominica was to run that island with the drug traffic, the casinos. They were in a position to have businesses there, and they were to be in control of all the forest and lumber of that little island and have the job of Minister of Propaganda, keep their Nazi flag on the island. And again, these people are not a fringe group. These people link directly with Sir Eric Gary and the United States government, people like Robert McNamara and Robert Pastor and the intelligence community, Mr. Califano, the former deputy defense secretary. The Klan and the Nazis and the Soldiers of Fortune work together. There isn't any difference between John Singlaub of Western Goals or Mr. Lisenby from Alabama or training around the nuclear plants with their silencers and their machine guns. Now, this is the group that it turns out J. Paul of the Los Angeles Police Department is working with John Reese in Reese's home with computers. He has the names of all these people. He works with them. That is what is warming up for Los Angeles. If the new postage stamp on the National Archives says the past is just the prologue, you better believe it's catching up now. I mean, now it is time to realize that none of these people have paid their dues for the violence they caused in this country. They have been given immunity. The group with the Dominica invasion plans, I think, got 3 years. They'll be out in another year or so, maybe on time for the Olympics. Well, have a good Olympic game in Los Angeles. But we'll be doing more about Edwin Meese because he was in the Justice Department in California when the roots for all of this was set up. Edwin Meese, who would be your attorney general for that big celebration in Los Angeles. This is Mae Brussel, and our time is up now. Another hour has passed. I'll be back with you on World Watchers next week. You take care and read all those papers.